They go to their church. I saw a photo. Toby, he don't even want me to tell you what I saw in it. I was half expecting you to stand up and go with them. We've come a long way. I saw Timmy. I saw a picture of Timmy with Grandma Ned. We've come a long way as a church. We must be old. That picture that we saw with Grandma Ned was shows what is it? Well, I didn't eat it, honestly. It's not food. Oh, that this is the evidence. It just shows the faithfulness of God. We can take it for granted. Karen, how long have you been coming to this same address?
Know why I can't say.
There you go. We've been here for a long time. God has been faithful. Our pictures testify if we don't talk about it enough. Our photos testify. God has been faithful. The way he does his things is marvelous. He's the only one that does great things and keeps quiet. If Sister Kemi did for me 100 of what God has done, she'd have come one day to say, "Do you not know? Why are you so ungrateful?" But it's amazing what God has done. I was looking at Barabumi, the Barabumi I used to see 20-something years ago. Okay, I'm not going to. Let's just say it has increased. The blessings of the Lord. And I saw him standing throughout prayer meeting. He's been standing. I remember when we would come here and arrange chairs on Fridays and pray. We were way younger then when we started. Baratola, she was a CC coming to visit the US. She never knew she was going to move here. She was a guest. Just sitting down somewhere there. God has been faithful. God has been faithful. And Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. You live in water. Oh Lord, we have said so many prayers. We often remember the pains. But it's amazing, Lord, how many of these prayers you've answered. And thank you for the grace to reflect and see that you are even more faithful in answering your prayers than we are in praying for them. Because we stand here by your faithfulness today. Lord, I do not want to pretend today as though we're reaching out and stretching to touch you, as though you do not touch us, as though you're a God that is far away. Everything. Just, I realize our souls, our hearts, our minds just cannot comprehend the breadth of your faithfulness. Please open our eyes of faith, Lord, so that we will celebrate you more, that we'll remember Pharaoh and his troops that were cast in the sea. Remember the Red Sea that was parted, the Jordan River that was dried, at different times that we may walk through. That we may enter your Canaan with joy and rejoicing. That the joy of your presence may be with us, may not be like the children of Israel who very quickly forgot your presence with them. Who could not remember the bread, the manna from heaven, and thought that somehow you couldn't bring water as well. Help us, Lord, to live in the present, to celebrate you. Help us to feel the warmth of your sun against our skins, to see. Oh Lord, I do not know how our children have grown up, but I know that we're not responsible for it. We only know once they were kids, now they are workers. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the faithfulness that brings us here. May your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for taking us out, bringing us for those who have traveled and come back. Thank you. Welcome back, Sister Kemi. Thank God for the prayer and fasting. Thank God for all he has done for all of us this week. And we bless his name for it. So I'm just going to share with you briefly some of what the Lord has been sharing with us as elders and also personally. And I pray that at the end of this, you would have been blessed. I pray the Lord will be pleased to release something in your soul today that will prepare you for the battle, because Satan has something planned for all of us this week. And our fellowship is to strengthen one another for that battle. He gives us the word for the day at all times. Right, so we have been working on statements of faith for a few years. And the reason for that is, if I were to ask any of you, what does New Covenant Church believe about our homosexuality? I'm sure we're going to have three different answers here. About marriage, about divorce, about birth, naming ceremony, about communion. But if, as we are under this umbrella of Christ and we're taught by the Spirit, we should be clear what our statement of faith is so that we're consistent, right? So we as elders have learned, not as all of us, leadership group, we've learned a lot in the past 20 something years. And so we decided we're going to start documenting it. The shape of it, I'm thinking. And we've written a lot down. We've vetted it. We're not giving it out yet. We're still vetting it because we want to be sure. And all of our experiences are experiences of those who have taught us, those on whose shoulders we stand. We are putting them together. We have also found a lot of things that we learned, right? That were wrong. That by our experience in the Holy Ghost, through you, collective, God has taught us better. We want to be sure that Deshola, that Titi, tomorrow, I don't know where they'll be, it's California, San Francisco, that or whoever it is that it will please the Lord to stand behind this pulpit or to be the children's teacher, we'll be, at least be able to stand on our shoulders and learn as well. We don't want to relearn, remake the same mistake. We have made mistakes as elders. Probably we have even hurt someone, some of you. Thank you for your love. It's not deliberate. It's because we are human beings. Even the disciples made mistakes. But the cool thing is that we've learned from it. We have offended God at different times. We used to pay musicians to play here. And then we decided we were robbing children of God because we wanted perfection. We were robbing children of God of the opportunity to serve. So we decided no matter what the music sounds like, we are no longer going to pay. If there's no musician, then we're clapician. You know, we have learned a lot of things. And if you see us today still standing, it's because we have always been willing to listen to God's Spirit and grow. If we were content to just go by the traditions, we'd also be building on the errors of those that came before us. They've added a lot to us. We don't have to relearn all their lessons because we also learn from them, right? So we're documenting that. That's not where I'm going to. I just wanted you to know. And I'll be touching on this in the coming weeks. We touch on a lot of topics in this. I'm going to just read a segment of our introduction, our core belief in New Covenant Church. So if anybody asks you any what you believe in your church, you are able to articulate it. And that's the first part of this. What do we mean by church membership? We go into it. You know, because there's all kinds of conflict that maybe everybody that attends on Sunday is a member. But from the word of God, what does membership of a body, of a living body of Christ really mean? Right? We're documenting all of that. What is our own impression about church growth? You know, there are different outlooks about what true church growth means, right? What are our guiding principles as a church? What is our structure and governance, right? Some people have bishops, pastors. Brother Bumi told us we don't have assistant pastors because there's no assistant pastor in the Bible. Those are things we had to learn, even though you'd have had senior pastor, assistant pastor, pastor in training. Well, Ibrahim, well. Right? All of that we would have, but is it biblical? You know, we'd have had popes and cardinals, right? So we're going into the word of God, and these are things that God has taught us. How about buying church buildings? Sorry, it's not here. I'm poking some people here. They know themselves. You know, why is it? What's the wisdom that God has given us today that we're not in debt asking all of you to go and bring first fruit? Because those that do it is not because they are mean-spirited. We should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. If we are not careful about these legitimate and good things, we detract from the main work of God. How is it that our pastor today is not begging you for money? What are the principles that led him to take the decisions that he took? What are the pains connected with it? What are the gains connected with it? We want to pass this knowledge on to the next generation. As Brother Shego indicated, I do look in the mirror and I see that the hair is getting gray. Those that have black hair, don't think I don't know what you're doing. Right. We want to do all of that. Our communication structure. What do we mean by a church worker? What's our pastoral office? What's the position of an elder? Do we have first ladies, second ladies, mothers of the church? Do we have mothers of the church? Oh, yeah, Joe. Why don't we practice these things? Why? We're going to talk about them because they are not, it's not because those who do them are mean, but because we are learning. We're learning, right? What is the position for or disqualification and qualification as an elder? How about gender? What is it called? He, she, they, me. What's that called? Bi. I know they are pronoun. I mean, you know the he. Binary. You are getting old. Non-binary. Yes, non-binary concepts. You should be able to articulate not just what the, but why. What does Jesus feel about it? Did Jesus even talk about it? If he did not, what are the reference points in the Bible to help you? The Bible says we should be in readiness for anybody to, that asks us to be able to say the reason for the hope that is in us. We don't want you to hum and ha. No, the Bible says, let all men be fully persuaded in his heart. So we're trying to put this together so that even we are consistent. Because who knows where the Lord will lead Baratola tomorrow. We don't want him to go and start a branch in Abeokuta and then I hear him preaching anointing oil because it's not in the Bible. But if we're not careful, situations and circumstances will lead to all of those things. Right. We have help ministry. We have ministries in this church. How do we start a ministry? Right? How about widows and orphans? What is our church principle? Have we even bothered to ask, Brother Shegun, what is our church doing for widows and orphans? Maybe the Bible talks about widows and orphans. Does anybody even know what is our stand on widows and orphans in this church? What do we do with your tithes and offerings? Have you asked? You should know. Right? Because the Bible did say we should take care of them. And if we're not taking care of them, who should be challenging us? Us should be challenging us. True. These are important things to Jesus. Religion is not just about who comes to church or who leaves. It should influence our lives and our decisions. Actually, that's what they call doctrines. Doctrines. There's the doctrine. What is the doctrine of Christianity? Anyway, it's a question. It's not hypothetical. What is the doctrine? Okay, I'm going to help you. Who is the doctrine of Christianity? Jesus is the. Then there are doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ about different topics. And we have encountered in our 20-something years, soon to be 30, different situations that's formed our doctrines. We have young adults ministry here. Defunct? Is it defunct? They've all grown to be adults. You graduate, nobody to replace them. Okay, you see? What are expectations about and this segment probably will be written out by our adult teachers. What are their experiences? What should we pay attention to? Because the things that when I used to be, I wasn't born, so I never went to young adult church. Right? But I'm sure the things that Sister Kemi and Co, who were born in church, what they were teaching them, There are new situations today that we need to be aware of and new challenges. We always hint at them, but we need to document these things as well. All right. Water condition, water position on water baptism. Can anybody articulate what the New Covenant Church, Hyattsville, Maryland position is on baptism? Anybody? Anybody who has been attending our church for more than 15 years, please articulate for us what our position on water baptism is.
Sprinkling.
By we don't do sprinkling. Who
Yeah.
does sprinkling?
Catholic, I think.
One of the,
Babies, they do for
yes.
babies.
But you also need to know, because someone will ask you why. Why do this? Why do you, supposing there is no water, then are you saying someone should not be baptized if there is no body of water? You know, there are places where a cup and a bucket is all you have, and there's no river within miles. Is the person that is immersed not born again? If they're already born again, does it mean they don't need to be immersed? Supposing all you have is a cup and you want to baptize about 60 people, will the Lord say, because you only sprinkle them, then they are not truly baptized? Because there isn't there a condition? There are. Is it a lie? So what will you do if you are the person that the Lord is using in that person? How will you baptize such believers? There are 300 people. To get a cup of water is a blessing. In fact, they see you putting people in water, the government will sue you. How will you baptize your church? You have only one bucket of water. The doctrines of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the letter and then there's the spirit. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So in different times at our leadership forum, we've discussed some of these things, and we wanted to document them so that you all will benefit. What if you came to us and asked us to baptize? We can turn you down under what circumstance? I'm sorry.
You are non-believer.
Well, then we must have spiritual surgeons who can open hearts and tell us whether someone is born again or not. How do you know if someone is born again? And there are people who act spiritual, but they are devils just because they want to get baptized. And after you baptize them, their true color will show. But yeah, these are realities that we have to face. How do you, as a believer, face those realities? And we've had all of these experiences, by the way. There's the conflicting of water baptism and saving grace. Grace, baptism. But what does the Bible teach about this? Do we even have baptismal records in this church? Who? How many of you were baptized in this church? Hands up. Up, 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 up. Thank you. Do you know whether if you lost your baptism, we could grant you a copy or not? Would you expect your church to be able to reproduce the record for you or not? Supposing you decide to go to a theological college and they decide you've lost your certificate and you need a copy, who would you call? Do you know? Okay, supposing Brother Bumi is not here. No, I mean, Brother Kunle too is not here. Yeah. Me oh boy. Is it fasting?
I said I did a convocation when I was in the Anglican Church, and I don't have my records anymore.
Did you ask them?
Does also still exist? Oh, it does? Oh,
You
okay.
see now, you did not ask.
Confirmation, but I had to go for a convocation class or confirmation class. Oh my God, I'm getting old. Convocation, oh yes, confirmation.
They would have the record. Because if
Really?
you're going to go to a higher level Anglican training school, they want a record of your church membership.
Okay, I
And
need
they
to do
might
that.
ask, and they will be able to produce it. Do you know if in New Covenant we have such diligent record keeping? We do. That's Sister VC and our iron cabinet there. We are going digital. All of this you need to know. All of this you need to know. What about baptismal classes? Is it optional? Why do we do them? So that when we insist that you do them, you won't be angry if you already know this is what we do. You know? But if we did baptismal class for Sister Shade's nephew, and then Baratola's nephew comes and say, no, we can't do. If you don't know why, you'll be angry. Abby? How about marriage? We've not done any marriage formalized. Actually, we have. We formalized Ayo's wedding, did we not? Yeah. Who else? No, not Ayo. It wasn't Ayo. It was Ayo's sister-in-law, Kiloruko, of Banana Republic, Banana Island. We did Ayarewa, that's true. I have to, she has to. Have you seen her lately? See, we do their wedding, they run away. Ayo is somewhere in Fulton or thereabout now. When next I see her, I'll tell her to show up. And Brother Biodun, that was years ago. Wow, decades. What is the condition? Supposing you come and say, I want you to marry my brother and sister, and we say no. You won't even come and tell us if you already know what rules apply ahead of time. This is why these churches formalize so that there won't be partiality or a perception of impartial of partiality. Abby? There's so many. What about a Christian home? Do we even have a stand on how man ought to behave to woman, woman, man, parent to children, children to their parents? Does Christ have a stand on that? Do we have an expectation? Do we have a baseline that we measure our progress? Or do we just measure our progress by confession, words? If he appears spiritual, sings on lips of holiness, is present in all of the prayer meetings, that means he's a Christian. Or if he's not present in the prayer meeting, he's not something, that means he's not a Christian. What is a Christian home? What is our doctrine on Christian home? What is our posture when a man is fighting his wife or a wife is fighting her husband? What is the posture of the elders? What should you expect? Because there should be consistency across board, right? Not that because Brother Wale is close to Brother Bumi, there's a kind of gentleness. But when it's someone that is far, then it becomes strict. No, he should be able to say, this is where Jesus stands on this. And then Brother Wale becomes my brother. I must tell you the truth, but I'm no longer Brother Wale when, because now we're standing on a rock that's higher than just personal relationship. We're standing on the power pillar and the bulwark of truth. So what is that? And we're going to preach and talk about this thing. What's our posture on polygamy? What does the Bible talk about a man having several wives? To some of you that are younger, that may be strange, but if you grew up in another culture, it wouldn't be. What's the Christian? What's the historical Christian? What did Jesus say about it? This is where doctrines and conviction begins to come. This is where you are able to test yourself against a line, the straight line of Jesus. In those days, we knew it's 20 minutes already. Okay. Anyway, so forth and so on. We are a body of Christ. We are founded as a branch of New Covenant Church worldwide. We are, however, independent. We wanted to make sure everybody knows that we stand with Christ in this church. We are not moved by a branch in London or the global branch. We hold ourselves accountable to the Spirit of the Lord and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Full disclosure, because of this branch is in trouble many times with the older branch. Because those who will stand with Jesus will suffer persecutions, even from their own. We, you, me, we are responsible to Jesus for this fellowship, for this family of God. It doesn't matter what those outside say. Those who are like manna led by Jesus will be with us, and we will serve the Lord Jesus together. We're a duly incorporated non-profit entity in the USA in compliance with the laws and regulations of the land, which is why you can deduct your tithes and offerings come April. We are legally entitled to exist as a church. However, our identity derives directly from Jesus and his love for all mankind. All churches derive their identity from the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they know it or not. But our Jesus is not passive. We test our faithfulness to Jesus based on whether we also are as faithful to the rest of mankind as he has commanded us to be. Love binds us together. If you notice in this church, we don't have forms. We don't have structural forms. We measure our devotion and dedication by how much love we show. My wife was cracking a joke during VBS. I think she looked back. And remember, you have to know the culture, the Christian culture that my wife comes from. My wife was a minister of City of David Redeemed Christian Church. You okay, Karen? Yeah, please, take your time. All right? So if you say someone knows really or has been an integral part of religion, she was part of the inner caucus. And during VBS, she had a brief reflection. She just sobered up and then she shook her head and said, you know what's amazing? She said, this is the only church I've been that the pastor goes to get people food. She said, it's so normal with us that Brother Bumi, we get up and go. He goes to Jamaica to buy Jamaica for those who want Jamaica. He buys chicken for those who, he said, it never happened. Do you understand? Well, it just never, I said, yeah. I'm used to it. So what? Brother Bumi is going to get food. So what? We said, you don't understand that this is strange. He said, not even departmental heads go to get food. He said, there'll be, not he, my wife is she, right? He said, you don't understand. He said, there'll be protocol department. Titi will be doing that. Uncle, what do you want? You want Jamaican? Or who wants? That'll be Titi's duty. Said, this is the only church where you find elders climbing the chair to put. He said, that's not their job. He said, that normally is not. He said, there's Jesus amidst us. And I think it takes going out to really know what the Lord is doing in our midst. You okay, Karen?
Yes,
good? Love. 24. Love binds us together. We really don't care what title you bear, what job you do here. What we test is, do you have love in your heart? And it will be shown by your kindness, your humility, your love. That's the true measure of our progress in Christ. So I want you to open to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. As you open, I say, we consider ourselves a spiritual organization, beholding first and foremost to our Lord Jesus Christ. We are led by the Spirit of God and dedicated to his glory. We have a leadership call. People will come in and out of it. But what matters is not who is in that call with us, it's the Spirit that guides that call. And the Spirit himself, we show the people he wants in that group. Someone, please read out that verse, Ephesians 4, 4.
There is one body.
One body.
And one spirit.
And one spirit.
Just as you were called in one hope.
We're called in, and we're called in one hope of God's calling. One body, one spirit, one Lord. As we are called with one hope of his calling. We do not subscribe. Yeah, okay, Karen. We do not subscribe to categorizations. We don't call ourselves Pentecostal, Methodist, Baptist, Protestant, Mainline, etc. True, we are charismatic in background. That means we come from, who knows what I mean? Please, if I'm using grammar that you don't understand, lift your hand. We are charismatic. You know what they call by charism? You know what they call charismatic movement? Pentecostal charismatic, historically. You know, New Covenant Church is historically charismatic, right? We acknowledge that although we are charismatic by background, we do acknowledge that the grace that God extends reaches across all denominations. We do not arrogate truth to ourselves alone. There's a lot to be learned by every other church culture from, and we have. We hold simply that we are a Bible-believing church. So when someone asks you, just say to them, we're a Bible-believing church. Don't pigeonhole yourself. We long to be faithful in the work that God has committed into our hands in this state of Maryland and wherever he leads us. Do you understand how to describe us? Does it make sense, Kenny? What kind of church do you attend? Let's say it. What kind of church do we attend? Are we Pentecostals? Are we non-denominational? No. What kind of church do you attend? We are not non-denominational. There's no such thing as non-denominational in the Bible. Are we a charismatic church? No, we are not. What kind of church do we attend? We are a Bible-believing church. Whatever the Bible teaches, that's who we are. And thank you, Sister Ruki, for asking.
No, I said, why do you say we're non-denominational? Because we're not Anglican, Baptist, Methodist, you know.
Because
we don't ascribe to
because
denomination.
Because it pigeonholes us.
How?
We want to describe ourselves the way the Bible. It's true that we're charismatic. It's true that we're non-denominational. It's true that we're. But if you were to, it's true that I'm an engineer. It's true that I'm an IT professional. It's true that I'm a father. It's true that I'm a husband. But if you ask me who I am, I'll say I'm a child of God.
Yeah. But to identify you, you're Wale Adeniyi.
I'm a child of God. One day, Wale Adeniyi will die, but the child of God will live forever.
Yes. But you need
so
to
in
identified.
Context, in context can be conversations where I will have to give my name, have to do everything. But remember, we are talking about our church as a whole and how we perceive ourselves. And the way we perceive ourselves, we also give people the first impression of what our mission is. And the most powerful way to convey that
Bible believing
is that because guess what? Satan divides Christians along those lines. I'm Catholic, I'm Baptist, I'm non-denominational. And that's why they invented non-denominational, simply to say we really don't believe in those divisions, right? But we have chosen to use words directly from scriptures. Just let people know that we are a Bible-believing church. And very quickly, when they get here, they will know. Because there are things that non-denominational church fathers, Catholic church fathers, Baptist church fathers, Methodist church fathers, Calvinist church fathers, Calvinists, that they believe that we don't. But everything we believe is in the Bible. Do you get? So it's not wrong that we have Baptists, something, we have Methodist influence, we have all of that. But when you describe yourself to people that, hey, all of these things are not important to us. We believe what the Bible says. And we are progressively learning. We used to blast tongues publicly in this church once. Until Brabumi one day said, doesn't Corinthians, this was years ago, doesn't the Corinthians say we shouldn't do this? And we all agree that there are areas that we don't understand as we should. And we went to study it. Right? We are very sure that we haven't arrived at the right equilibrium and we're going to take that. But what we know right now in clear conscience is what we practice because we're a Bible-believing church. And we know the Lord can evolve us from there as well. It's very important that we know that daily on every point, we are guarded by the word of God. So that when you meet someone, they say, "Why do you do?" You can say, "Open to the book of Colossians." This is where I get the practice from. Then they can argue with you that you don't understand. Then we humbly say, "Maybe. Okay, explain what you mean, but this is what God has taught us so far." And God Himself can evolve us from that at some point. Then we say, "Blessed be. Thank you, Lord. Now we believe this because we are a Bible-believing church." As we come to a close for the day, we'll continue next week. Not with this general, I just wanted to read. See, Sister Ronke won't even let me get past the first page. Okay, we'll do that another day. Let me continue. Let's do that afterwards. So we try. Satan has caused a lot of division by dividing Christians along denomination. Now, if you go to certain church, you won't feel like a stranger. This is as if we are all not members, so you are not part of us because you don't speak in tongues, or you are not part of us because you have sprinkling. Instead, we all think all Catholics are demons. Not so. Not so. Okay. And these are things we've learned over the years, I said. We believe the scriptures in John 3:16, that our God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe everybody should at least know that scripture by heart, right? If you don't, please, let's know it by heart. By this, we confess that Jesus is the Savior of the world. That's our confession. We believe Romans 3:23, that there are no people good enough on their own merit to go to heaven. In fact, that's why we're a church, because Jesus has sent us to persuade the world that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of all. There's nobody good enough. That's why we're occupying. And this was the message that Jesus went about preaching, that I am the resurrection and the life. So we believe that. And we also believe, and that's where our crisis comes from, that the wages of that sin is death. But God has given a gift in Christ. The gift of God is Jesus Christ. We believe the prophets, the patriarchs of our faith, and strive to emulate their love and devotion to God. We go deeper in this. We believe the Old and the New Testament. But what we get the most from the Old Testament and the patriarchs and the prophets is the way they served their God, and we strive to emulate it. We can copy Abraham, Elijah, Jeremiah. There's something about their life, and we strive to emulate it. But for doctrine, we look to Jesus. Okay? We admire our church fathers, our general overseer, our heroes of the faith, all those fancy books, you know, all those Sister Kemi's fancy books. She has a bunch of them, those biographies and biographers, the champions of the faith, the generals of our faith. We admire and love all of them. All of them. And there's something to believe, but we believe they are men. I've lost where I was. Okay, I found it. We admire the church fathers and Isabel, but we exalt scriptures above all. Paul said, if I were to come back to you, if anyone comes to you, even if it's me, even if it's an angel, and preach another message that Jesus has not preached, let such a person be what? Accursed. We stand on the same. No matter who you are, how experienced, how many people you've raised from the dead, how long the Lord has been using you, if you tell us in this church something that is contrary to what Jesus told us, we don't believe you. We respect you, we love you, but we don't believe you. 36 minutes. possible to preach a 30-minute sermon in this church. Let us pray.
Our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you very much because you gave your life for us, and upon you, the truth of life resides, O God. It's upon you that your church is built. Father, we know in part, we prophesy in part. The Bible says that when we see you, we'll be like you, and we know just as you do. And so, Lord God Almighty, we thank you for the discussion of today. And we thank you for the statement of faith that's been shared. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we just pray that above all things, O God, we just want to know you. We want to learn of you more. We want to seek your heart more. We want to stand in your presence more. Father, this grace to be the friend of God, just as you describe some men in the Bible, that's what we seek, O God. And Father, we pray that through us, O God, you will reach the world. Father, Lord God Almighty, we thank you for this service today. We give you glory for all that you've accomplished today, O God. We just pray that the rest of the week will not be void of you. You will fill it with your presence, with your power, and with your grace, and with your love, O God, and with your guidance for all of us, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us rise and share the grace.